Good morning, people. The Bible reading will be Matthew 5, verse 14 until 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen.
Well, thank you, Samantha. That was the theme also in Euroventure. And were the ladies here last week already who attended Euroventure? Okay. Well, you're lucky. I won't call you forward then. Right. The last sermon in the series, Sent by Jesus. And sent by Jesus today to be a light in the world. You are the light of the world. That's what we've just heard, Samantha, reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Before I continue, I'd like just to say something to the kids. Sarah, please, would you give me a hand? Jongens en meisjes, ik wil eerst even een verhaal vertellen. En na de preek komt er nog een klein stukje erbij.
Boys and girls, I'm going to tell a story, and after the sermon there'll be another little extra bit.
Er was eens.
Once upon a time.
Er was een koning, en hij had zeven kinderen.
There was a king, and he had seven children.
En de koning was al oud.
The king was already quite old.
En hij moest nadenken over wat gebeurt er als ik doodga.
And he had to start thinking, what's going to happen when I die?
Ja, meestal wordt dan het oudste kind wordt dan de koning of de koningin.
What would normally happen, the eldest child would then become the king or the queen.
Maar dat vond de koning niet zo leuk, want hij hield van al zijn kinderen.
But the king wasn't very happy with that idea because he loved all his children.
Dus wie zal ik dan uitkiezen die dan na mij koning of koningin wordt?
So he started thinking, well, who am I going to choose then to become king or queen after me?
Hij had een ideetje en hij zou alle kinderen een opdracht geven. En hij riep ze naar hem toe.
So he had an idea. He thought, okay, I'm going to give all the children a specific task. And he called them all to him.
Hij zei, jullie moeten allemaal het land intrekken en daar wonen en daar leven.
He said, I want you all to go out into the country and live there.
En na over precies een maand moeten jullie dan weer terugkomen en iets moois meenemen van het land.
And after exactly a month, I want you all to come back and bring something beautiful with you from the country.
En degene die dat het mooiste en het beste kan doen, die wordt koning of koningin na mij.
And the person who does that the best, or brings the most beautiful thing back, that person will become king or queen after me.
Na een maand kwamen de kinderen terug.
After a month, the children came back.
Ze waren natuurlijk al wat ouder, dus ik zeg wel kind, maar de zonen en dochters natuurlijk.
So they were sons and daughters, they weren't actually children, but they came back.
De eerste die zei, pa, moet u eens kijken, ik heb van alles en nog wat meegenomen van dit land, alle soorten aarde die er zijn.
And the first child said, look dad, I've brought all different kinds of soil from different parts of the country.
Een beetje zand en een beetje klei en wat grind en wat humus.
So sand and clay and gravel and different types of soil.
En het land heeft van alles en nog wat.
And there's all sorts of different kinds of soil in our country.
Het tweede kind dat zei, maar ik had het eigenlijk, ik bofte, want het was met de oogsttijd.
And the second child came and he said, or she said, I was really lucky because it was just the harvest time.
En dus ik heb meegenomen de oogst van het land.
So I brought something of the harvest of our country.
En prachtige vruchten en tarwe en van alles en nog wat.
Lovely fruits and grains and all kinds of things.
Een derde kind zei, oh, wat ik heb meegenomen is wat de mensen hebben gemaakt.
And the third child said, oh, you know what I've brought? I've brought things that people have made.
De mensen kunnen zulke mooie dingen maken. Moet je eens kijken. People, deze kralen en dit handwerk.
People can make such beautiful things. Look, I've got some beads here and all kinds of handicrafts.
En zo hadden de kinderen allemaal wat meegenomen.
And so all the children had brought something back.
Maar die laatste, die was er nog niet.
The last child hadn't appeared back.
Waar blijft die nou?
So they thought, well, where is he?
En eigenlijk een beetje, heel erg een beetje te laat, kwam het laatste kind.
And finally, really a bit too late, the last child came back.
Maar die had helemaal niks bij zich.
And he had nothing with him.
Wat is dat nou? Waarom neem je niks mee?
So his dad asked him, what's going on? Why haven't you brought anything back with
dat
you?
Dat was toch de opdracht?
That's what I asked you to do.
Toen zei dat kind, ja, maar hoe moet ik nou meenemen de tranen van de vrouw die ik heb getroost?
Oh, sorry. and the last child said, how can I bring back the tears of the lady that I've comforted?
En de lach van het kind waar ik mee gespeeld heb?
How can I bring back the smile of the child that I've played with?
En hoe kan ik nou het zweet meenemen van de mensen die ik heb geholpen op het land?
How can I bring back the sweat of the people who I've helped, who were working hard on the land?
De koning hoefde niet lang meer na te denken over wie hij wilde aanstellen als koning, een koningin na hem.
And it didn't take the king a long time to think about who would be the right person to appoint as king or queen after him.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Okay. Tot zover. Nicole, could you give me a hand? It doesn't respond. Light in the Bible. Well, light in the Bible is... it still doesn't respond. Excuse me. Right, it's a metaphor. Metaphor of the law giving direction for life. We just sang... Uh-oh. Thank you, Peter. Can you show the next line, please, Nicole? For the believer, we just sang Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is the light on my path, giving me direction. Next line, please. But it's not just for the believer. Thank you very much. But it's also a testimony to the nations. If we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8, we read, which nation has such great commandments as the people of Israel who received the law? There's no nation that has so righteous, such righteous guidelines for life. Israel is unique. It was a testimony. And Christians are encouraged to do good. Yes, obviously. There in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Paul says you should give priority to do good to your fellow Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, we read that it's Paul who really makes it an effort to do good. And he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. That will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Again, Paul is very clear. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are called to do good. We are encouraged to do good, to do what's there in the Bible. It's very important. But does doing good automatically lead people to praise our Father in heaven? Is that the response of non-Christians? When we do good, do non-Christians say, "Oh, wow, oh, praise God," because they watch us doing this? Well, many others do good. Those who do not believe in the God of the Bible, even people who believe in other gods, people from different religions can do very good deeds. Yes, sometimes they are better people in that respect compared to Christians. So, what does Jesus' meaning actually mean? Should we excel? But that's not what Jesus is suggesting. He's not suggesting competition with non-Christians. Right, you should be better than the people in the world. That's not what he is saying. And if you look to the context of Jesus saying, it is given immediately after the Beatitudes. So, blessed are the poor and the weak and the persecuted, and these people are called the light of the world. So perhaps it's the circumstances under which we do good that makes us the light of the world. Something like, see, even when we suffer hardships, we still continue to do good. That would fit more the context. But then again, this would mean that we are in a competition with non-Christians, and that's certainly not what Jesus is suggesting. So I'd like to, with you, have a look at our works. Because if we focus on really doing well and excelling, that we want to do better than the non-Christians, then the focus in this way, focusing on our works, is not really in harmony with biblical teaching about our identity. The Lord does not encourage us to really be aware of all the good deeds that we are doing. No, we have died in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, you are not your own, you were bought at a price. Or in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Or Colossians chapter, if you've died with Christ, if it's not about you, but that it's about Jesus, that you should not be so conscious anymore of yourself, but conscious of Jesus. I was reminded of the learning curve of Maslow. It starts at the top left-hand corner. That's when you're unconscious incompetent. And that's, well, if children are like that, that's okay. But if you're grown up and you're not conscious of your incompetence, then that's usually not very nice. The second stage is left under, to be conscious of your incompetence. Then you learn, and then you consciously are competent. But you should end at the top right-hand corner to be unconscious in your competence. And this is really something like what Jesus actually and what the Bible is teaching us, that when we are doing good, we should not actually focus on doing good, on being so much aware of doing good. So unconscious of ourselves, conscious of Jesus. Jesus, obviously, he is the light of the world. There are three verses in the Gospel of John and many, many more in the letter of John about the light and about Jesus being the light. In chapter 8, verse 12 in the Gospel, chapter 9, verse 5, and chapter 12, verse 45, Jesus is the light of the world. So when Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world, and then next we read again and again that Jesus is the light of the world, the purpose is that we should, in our day and life, reflect something of Jesus. So it's much more than doing good deeds. He is the Savior. His deeds is, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. There's one more text that I would like to read with you. Last but one. And that is, the focus should not should be on the work of the Lord, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. There we read, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So here we are encouraged to do good works, to labor. But it says, therefore, it starts with therefore. And the preceding verses are all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The preceding verses are about our resurrection, that one day we will be raised from the dead, or if we are still alive and Jesus returns, we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Therefore, stand firm, nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Your work is not in vain of the Lord. Now, what does Paul mean by your work in the Lord? Well, he mentions it twice in this letter of Corinthians. The first time is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the verses 10 to 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, we read, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If he is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So the work of the Lord is linked to building the church. The other verse that you can see on the screen is chapter 9, verse 1, where Paul says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord?" So the Corinthians are the work of the Lord done by Paul. So, labor in the Lord is related to building the church, the body of Christ, the body that testifies to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, spreading the good news, spreading the hope of salvation. Good works are always, biblically speaking, related to Jesus Christ and the gospel and his church. Invest in the church, in evangelism, in mission, in witness, giving true direction in life. And all the good works of caring for people and comforting, correcting, giving direction in life should always be in response to what Jesus has done. Echoing his words, living his words. And this truly will be the last verse that I'd like to read with you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." So the doing good should always be motivated and inspired by the hope that we have in us, the hope that is in Christ Jesus. No competition. Not trying to be better than somebody else. And we live in a day and age where there is a lot of pressure, very, very, very high expectations, a lot of burnout. But we are not called into a competition with each other. We are called to do good in response to what Jesus has done and is going to do. So let us rejoice in the fact that we, the church, are the light of the world. Let us rejoice in building our church, as Sarah mentioned just when she announced the small groups. That's part of building the church. If you just come here on a Sunday and then leave and do not connect with people, if you don't tithe and set apart money on a regular basis to give to the church, if you don't pray for missionaries, you're not building the church. And it's through the church that people will say, "Oh, what's happening? How come that you relate in love with each other while you have not really chosen to be a brother and sister? You are just in the family of brothers and sisters. How come that you do good? How come that you spread the gospel?" That is when people will praise the Lord. Your labor, when you invest in the church, in church life and in everything in response to Jesus, that labor will not be in vain. Let us rejoice in Jesus. Continue to worship him. He is the light. He is our hope. He is our guide. He is our life. He is our Savior. Let that always be the motivation of our good deeds. And now I just want to close again, Sarah, for those kids who survived. Not many. But then Vorig jaar tijdens de burendag in de andere kerk waar ik dominee ben.
So last year, when we had Neighbor Day in the other church where I'm pastor in Ede.
We waren allemaal mensen die klusjes deden bij andere mensen thuis in de buurt van de kerk.
So lots of people, they did jobs for people in the community, people who live near our church.
En de tieners deden ook mee.
So the teenagers, they were part of it as well.
En er was een klein groepje waar ook een jongen van een jaar of 15, 16.
So in one of the groups there was a boy of about 15, 16.
En hij werkte hard en heeft geklust, heeft dingen gerepareerd.
So he worked hard and he was doing this job and he was repairing stuff.
En toen ze klaar waren was die mevrouw zo dankbaar.
And when his group had finished what they were doing, the lady they were helping was so grateful.
Oh, ik vind het zo geweldig wat jullie hebben gedaan. Dankjewel, dankjewel. Hoe kan ik jullie bedanken?
She said, I think it's great what you've done. Thank you so much. How can I repay you? Or how can I thank you?
En toen zei deze tiener.
And this teenager said.
Nou mevrouw, wij doen dit gewoon omdat we van Jezus houden.
She said, well, we just do this because we love Jesus.
En de twee anderen die mee hadden geholpen, die waren een heel stuk ouder.
And the two other people who had helped as well, they were a bit older, quite a bit older than him.
En die hebben het aan mij verteld.
And they told me what this boy had said.
Want het had iets bij die oudere helpers gedaan. Zo van, oké, daar gaat het dus inderdaad om. Ik was het bijna vergeten.
Because the words of this young teenager had made an impression on the older two people and it made them realize, oh yeah, that's why we're doing this. We'd kind of almost forgotten.
Dus jongens en meisjes, er is heel veel druk op ons van wie is de beste en wat kan ik het beste doen.
So boys and girls, bear in mind, there's a lot of pressure on all of us to see who's best and how can I be better than the other person.
Maar in de Bijbel gaat het nooit om ben jij beter dan iemand anders?
But in the Bible, it's never about being better than somebody else.
Maar als je iets goed wil doen, laat het dan zo zijn dat je het voor Jezus doet.
If you want to do something well, then let it be because you want to do it for Jesus.
We zijn een ogenblikje stil.
Let's be quiet for a moment.